more. We see Christ as he sees us in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is no shadow. There is no darkness. All light in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Woo, glory! Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once again, I want to thank Pastor Thompson for this privilege to stand upon the altar of God. Stand upon the altar of God and to speak to you, God's precious people. I don't take it lightly at all. And Pastor Joy, thank you very much, man, for the privilege. I greet all the bishopric popes in the house. Bishop, if I start calling their names, we'll not live here. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're looking at the believer's authority. Hallelujah. The believer's authority. What is the believer's authority? What do we have in Christ? Do we have access to authority in Christ? And how does this authority come? What is the believer's authority? How does the believer use his authority? How did this authority come about? Hallelujah. Is the believer's authority, is it temporary? Is it something that he always has? Is it something that that is always on? Hallelujah. Now, how did he achieve it? Does the believer get his authority by doing good works? Does the believer, does he achieve or attain unto authority by what he does? Hallelujah. So let's start from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. Verse 15. Paul says, he says that from a child that has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So that all scriptures are what? Able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, first thing that we must understand is that the believer's authority comes from the gospel. It comes from believing in the gospel. It comes from faith in the gospel. Hallelujah. Bible says, the scripture are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, you cannot talk about the believer's authority without talking about the power of God. Hallelujah. That means understanding the power of God is key to understanding and flowing in the believer's authority. Amen. And in knowing the believer's authority, you have to understand the nature of the power of God. Now, Paul says that the scripture is able to make you wise unto salvation, right? Through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, let's see Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1. All right, Romans 1, verses 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, okay? To everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, when he says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, he's not saying that God's righteousness is revealed from one level of faith to another. He's just saying righteousness of God comes by faith alone. Hallelujah. So, from faith to faith, he's just saying faith alone. Hallelujah. And now, he says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, I said, in understanding the believer's authority, you must understand the nature of the power of God. And Paul says that the power of God is unto salvation, is toward salvation. Now, that already tells you that the believer's authority is not available to do anything that is outside salvation. The believer's authority is not given to the believer to walk contrary to salvation. Because the believer's authority comes from believing in the gospel, comes from faith in the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So, the believer's authority, it has a direction, one direction. It must speak of salvation. That is why whatever is not available in salvation cannot be said to be part of the believer's authority. Hallelujah. Now, let's take for example, people in the name of dominion want to dominate their neighbors in the workplace and all that. And by that dominion, they they will tell you that it's by the authority they have in Christ. No, that can't be the believer's authority, because that is contrary to salvation already. Now, praying for your enemy to die in the name of Jesus is not part of the believer's authority, because the power of God is unto salvation. So I cannot use my authority in Christ to kill someone, because it is not available in Christ. Amen. I cannot use the believers, I cannot use my authority to curse someone. I cannot use my authority in Christ to lay a curse on someone, because curses are not available in salvation. Hallelujah. They are not available in salvation. If I curse someone and it happens, it didn't happen by the power of God, because the power of God is unto salvation. It happened by the power of the devil. I just teamed up with the devil to curse someone. Hallelujah. So now, and also, I cannot use my authority in Christ to become the world's richest man or to become rich, because becoming rich materially is not part of my authority in Christ. It's not in salvation. Hallelujah. Now, we must settle this first. What the believer can use his authority for. What authority is for and what it is not. So, number one, we must settle that the believer's authority is unidirectional. It travels on the path of salvation alone. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's see Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. You know, people say, you know, all things, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And sometimes what they mean is that through Christ who strengthens me is that by the authority, by the power that I have in Christ, okay, that all, you know, all things are yours. Because now you are in Christ, all things are yours. Hallelujah. Let's see Luke 24. It's just like, before we go to Luke 24, let's see Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not hearing your hallelujah. All right, Matthew 28. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the day. Now, when Jesus says that all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me, all power cannot be all power. All power has to be all power in salvation. All power in the gospel. All power to save. All power in the confines of salvation. Now let's investigate this. Now, let's see John chapter 20. Other places where this was referenced from. John chapter 20. Jesus couldn't have said all power. When people sing, all power belong to God. Yeah, all power in salvation. Because if all power means all power, that means power to kill also. Power to destroy also. Hallelujah. So power must be towards salvation. John chapter 20. John 20. Hallelujah. If you're in John 20, say amen. If you're not there, say wait. Hallelujah. John chapter 20, verse 21. And then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Verse 23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, when he says that whosoever sins you remit, now he was not saying that the believer has the power to forgive men their sins. Okay, now we'll see that as we read further. Now let's see Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. Are you in Mark 16? All right, Mark 16, verses 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is the same account from Matthew chapter 28. Okay, now then let's see Luke chapter 24 before I just do a little explanation on that. Luke chapter 24. Hallelujah. Are we in Luke 24? Okay, Luke 24, verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Okay, and I made a statement. I said that when Jesus said that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, now all power have to be seen in the context of what he was talking about. And because immediately he said, all power is given unto me. And I said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. By how? By the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. It's just like when he says in Luke 24, that ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory. Now, verse 25 says that, O fools and slow to believe all that the prophets. Now, we already know that when he said to believe all that the prophets have spoken, it doesn't mean that everything that the prophets spoke, they spoke about Jesus. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that all that they spoke about Jesus. Amen. Now, all has to be seen in the context of all what he was talking about. Now, what is the all here? Now, he says, verses 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, the all things were what? The things concerning himself. Go to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Let's see all things. Luke chapter 18, verses 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, I go up to Jerusalem, and all things, how many things? All things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Now, he now wants to explain all things that are written concerning the Son of Man by the prophets. Now look at the next verse. Verse 32, now he wants to list all things. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. So what is the all things that were written concerning him? The things concerning his sufferings, right? And the glory that should follow. So when he was telling them that all fools and slow are to believe all that the prophet has spoken, he was saying, all that he have spoken concerning my sufferings, right? And the glory that should follow. Now let's go back to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18, let's read that again. Now, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now notice, Jesus didn't say this before he died. Hallelujah. But now he is risen. He comes to them, tells them that all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. Just like what he said in John chapter 20. He said that whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Now how do we remit people's sins? By the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. By the preaching of the gospel. Now Paul already says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now so Jesus comes and says that all power, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Now go and preach the gospel. So the power he was talking about, the all power, was power in salvation, in the gospel. Hallelujah. That is why it is very important that the believer knows what his authority does not cover. My authority does not cover killing someone that I don't like. My authority does not cover, demoting my boss in the office. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that my authority is only in the preaching of the gospel, but it must bear its roots in the gospel. It must not be contrary to what Jesus has done. It must not be, I am not to use my authority to do things that are contrary to the revelation of Christ Jesus as revealed in the gospel. Hallelujah. All right. So, John said something, John the Baptist. Let's see Matthew chapter 3 rather. Okay. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay, now let's go to Mark 1:8. Mark 1:8. I read. He said, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He shall do what? Baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Then go to Acts 1. Acts of Apostles 1. Verses 4 then. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days and now. Who was the first person that says that he who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost? It was John that said it. So what did John actually preach? Was it water baptism that John preached? No. He says that he that comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with the Holy Ghost, right? And Jesus says that. He says, John has said, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days. Now, how is a man baptized with the Holy Ghost? Now, baptism of the Holy Ghost is talking about being identified with Jesus. It means he was talking about salvation. So when John was saying that there is one coming whose shoes I cannot lose, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, he was talking about salvation. That means John was talking about the resurrection of Jesus. Because now, people couldn't be baptized with the Holy Ghost until Christ had been glorified. Just like John 4. He says that, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Okay? Verse 37. He says that he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall do what? Flow rivers of living waters. He said, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. He said, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. So it was the same thing that John was saying. He says, I baptize you with water. But there is one coming that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's just like when Jesus says in John 3, he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So water was a type of the Spirit. Amen. So John's baptism was symbolic of the resurrection of Jesus, of faith, of the gospel, of what Jesus would do in his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. So John wasn't preaching water baptism. John was preaching the gospel. He was preaching the resurrection of Jesus. That's why he said that, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. Now when John says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world, John didn't mean to say that if this Lamb takes away the sins of the whole world, he will remain dead. Hallelujah. He knew that he becomes the Lamb to take away the sins of the whole world, but in his resurrection, he will baptize with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So the authority of the believer, it comes from believing in the gospel, identification, that now I am identified with Christ by faith in the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. So, and you will see that this is called the promise of the Spirit. Just as you will see in Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us, stating, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, right? For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, right? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit, or the promised Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. The promised Spirit through faith. Amen. So, the promise of the Spirit, which is the fulfillment of all the promise of God, because God didn't have several promises, didn't make several promises to man. It was one promise, the promise of the Spirit, or the promised Spirit. Hallelujah. That was what all the Old Testament saints waited for. Amen. So it is the fulfillment of this promise, which is what brings salvation, that brings us into the authority that Christ has in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Okay? You will see that also in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Let's see Titus 1, 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Now, this hope of eternal life is the promise of the Spirit, is the promise of salvation. Hallelujah. Which speaks of the resurrection of Jesus, because man couldn't have eternal life until Christ had been glorified. Hallelujah. All right, let's move on. So we established that John's message was not water baptism, but the resurrection of Jesus and the glory that is in it. The resurrection of Jesus and the glory that is in it. And what is that glory that is in it? The promised Spirit. Hallelujah. The promised Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit is the glory of Christ's resurrection. That is why at salvation we receive that Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's see John chapter 3. John 3. John chapter 3. Hallelujah. Are you John 3? Let's see verse 30. He must increase. Now who speaks? John, this is John talking, okay? It say he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testified, and no man receiveth his testimony. Who is he speaking about? We'll find out. You see, he that received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God sent speaketh not the speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure. Okay? The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abided in him. Who is talking? This is John. Clearly, John was talking about, he was preaching the gospel. Amen. He said, he that believes in the Son, he has life. Which life? Eternal life. That was what he was talking about. Amen. That was why John was the greatest of all the prophets. Because he didn't talk about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that followed. He pointed to him. Hallelujah. He wasn't preaching about water baptism. In fact, John seemed to take everybody's attention from what he was doing. John was baptizing with water. He told them, I baptize with water. But this is not it. There is one who is coming, whose shoe I'm not worthy to lose. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That means, don't seek my baptism. Seek the one who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's see 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 21. Okay, sorry, let's take it from verse 18. For Christ also hath suffered for sins, for once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now when he says he went to preach to the spirit in prison, it didn't mean that Christ went to preach. I know people have preached it that, you know, when Jesus died, he went to go and preach. He preached to the spirits in prison. For them to repent or what? Is there repentance in the grave? He says, which sometimes were disobedient. He wants to describe these spirits in prison. These guys, when he says spirits in prison, he's talking about men, okay? Now, which sometimes were, verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient. So he is identifying these spirits in prison were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, I will explain that. Now, first of all, he says that these spirits in prison were those who were disobedient in the days of Noah, when the long-suffering of God did what? Waited. Now, who preached in the days of Noah when God's long-suffering waited? Noah. So Noah was the one that preached to the spirits that are now in prison, but were preached to when the long-suffering of God was waiting in the days of Noah. Actually, Peter would go on to say that Noah was a what? Was a preacher of what? Of righteousness. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to take note. It says that in verses 21, it says, the like figure, it says that the water of Noah is a like figure that even unto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Now, the baptism of John, what did he do to those people? It put away the filth of their flesh. It was just like they were having a bath. That's why Peter is saying, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Because what water baptism will do is the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Look at it. He says, but what? Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Answer of a good conscience, which is faith, okay, in Christ Jesus. Because he says that by the resurrection, okay, of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, John was pointing to he that was to baptize with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. So, let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So, as what we've seen so far is that now, in the resurrection of Jesus, that is where we receive all that we have as believers. Whatever it is that we have received it from faith in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Where have we received it? From faith in the resurrection. Now before we go there, let's see Ephesians chapter 1, sorry. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verses 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, okay, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on high at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So now at the resurrection, now the power of the resurrection now flows towards the believer, flows towards, not like a river, okay, but the power is now in the believer. Hallelujah. Okay, the believer has the power of the resurrection. Amen. Now, and the believer derives his authority from that power in Christ's resurrection. Hallelujah. The believer derives his power from where? From the power in Christ's resurrection. Because now the believer is now identified with Christ. He is now risen with Christ. Hallelujah. So, the authority of the believer is his identification with the name of Jesus in his resurrection. The authority of the believer is his identification with the name of Jesus in his resurrection. Like I said before, this authority is limited to what is available in his accomplishment in the resurrection. Whatever Jesus didn't accomplish in his resurrection is not available for us to use our authority for. Things like, you know, we cannot use our authority to curse things like dirt, curses, sickness, assassination. We can't assassinate people. We can't turn God, the Holy Ghost, to an assassin. Amen. You know, most people, what they bring up, what they do today is a carryover from 18 Arrow, African traditional religion. You know, in African traditional religion, when you're worshiping idols, you go to Babalawo, you have an enemy. So you go to Babalawo, so he gives you a portion, and he says, as so time, you call the person's name, you do this, and the person will die, right? Okay? But now, you are now come to church, and the pastor now tells you, You don't have to go to the Babalawo again. Now, what you go to the Babalawo to get done for you, the Holy Ghost will do it for you. So you don't have to go seek for portions. The name of Jesus is the portion. And people will tell you things like, it says, the blood is the last card. It's the last card. Invoke the person's name in the name of Jesus. You understand? It's refined religion. You know, praying for people to die by fire. It's refined idolatry packaged in the name of Jesus. Now you're not going to the Babalawo. Now you're using Jesus or the Holy Ghost as an assassin. Amen. But that is not your inheritance in Christ, because your authority must be towards salvation. Hallelujah. Your authority must be towards salvation. Amen. So things like, death causes sickness, assassination, theft, cars, houses, etc. are not available in the resurrection. I actually heard of a brother that, you know, when you preach, when you teach things like, you know, because you are now saved, this and this is available to you in Christ, you say, come to Jesus, he will treat all your problems. Come to Jesus, you know, he will take you from zero to hero. He will take you to the next level. So people come to Jesus in the hope of that. They didn't come to Christ because they believed in him, but because they wanted their problems to be solved. I heard of someone who said, he was telling me personally, he said that, you know, he was in one of these churches where they preach, because Jesus has died, you know, this is your inheritance in Christ, you know, riches, you know, cars and all this, you can claim things. So he saw one of the deacon's car. The car was very nice. Very nice car. He was telling me himself. He said, so, you know, he went, in fact, he was also a pastor in that church, okay? They believe in covenant seeds a lot and those things. So now he wanted to sow a seed to reap that deacon's car, but he didn't have the money. So what he did is that he went to the bank to take a loan, a loan of 400,000. Let's say that car maybe like it's like 5 million. So he took a loan from the bank, 400,000. Yeah, and he sold it on the altar as a sacrifice. So he sold it now because he wanted to reap that car. Because until a seed leaves your hand, a tree cannot come back to you. Hallelujah. Sacrifice. Yeah. So 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 1 year, the deacon is still driving his car. And he's still confessing, I sold that seed, I ripped the car. At the end of the day, he got frustrated, he got angry, and he left. That was because that is what they are being taught. When people are taught that now, because you are now in Christ, you can do this, you can get this, you can get this, you can get this. People's focus is no longer on Jesus, but on what they will get. Jesus becomes the end to a means. He becomes the end to a means. That means he is now a road that I can pass to obtain things. Hallelujah. That, of course, we know is another gospel. Amen. And they are preaching another Jesus. So we said things like that are not available. Okay. Therefore, those things are not constituents of the believer's authority. Amen. Now, how did the believer come about his authority? And how did Jesus come about the authority of his resurrection? Hallelujah. Now, John chapter 3 verse 16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his what? His only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not do what? Should not perish, but have what? God gave his only begotten son. So in the incarnation, he is God's only begotten son, right? He is God's only begotten son. But in the resurrection, what does he become? Now let's see Psalms chapter 2. Psalms 2. Hallelujah. You know, so people's understanding of power is power changes hands. Power must pass power. Okay? And by that, you know, there is altar versus altar. So you say it's like, all those Isha Uru movies, wrestling, you know. You know, it's in movies where That is when, only when you see, you know, the pastor will, you know, he will pray and pray and fight the demon. He will pray with what scriptures, nothing will happen. The demon is, no, will beat the pastor. Odeshi. Then finally, the pastor will carry his Bible and stone the demon. What his words could not do, the Bible will do it. All the power of the Bible. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 2. Are we in Psalms 2? Psalms 2 verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Hallelujah. He says, I will declare the decree. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten what? Because now, let's go to Acts chapter 13. Let's see this again. Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. Amen. Acts 13, verse 24. And as, when John had preached before, he has preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh after me one whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Israel, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Okay, and though they found no cause in him, yet they desired day Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen of many days. Now, you see, but God did what? Raised him from the dead. Now, they put him in a sepulchre, right? Someone says that, a pastor was preaching, and he says, Jesus had a sepulchre. Jesus had a sepulchre. Somebody stand on your feet today. He says, see, I receive my own sepulchre. People were saying, I receive my sepulchre. Who were receiving sepulchres. Oh God. Obviously, they've handed their brain at the door to the ushers. Hallelujah. Amen. The Jesus had the sepulchre. You receive your own sepulchre. Oh God. Alright. Alright, verse 30. It says that, but what? But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers. The promise that was made unto who? The fathers. Okay? God hath fulfilled the same unto us, his children, in that he has raised up Jesus again. As it is written also, in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So we see that, in the incarnation, he is the only begotten son of God. There were things that were his exclusive privilege. Hallelujah. Now, but in the resurrection, he is the first begotten from the dead. Why is he the first begotten? Because he was to bring many sons unto glory. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. So in the resurrection, he becomes the first begotten son of God in order to bring many sons unto what? Unto glory by faith in his resurrection. Hallelujah. All right, let's see something. Before this happened, let's see Hebrews chapter 1. Will investigate the use of authority in his earthly ministry and afterwards in the resurrection. Hebrews chapter 1. If you're in Hebrews, say amen. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Now, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, okay? Now, when he says who being, talking about Jesus, right? When he says who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when was this? Was it the resurrection or the incarnation? Is it the resurrection or the incarnation? No, no. Now, he being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person is just like 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. Okay, so he's talking about the incarnation. Okay, so he says that, now, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, we already know that all things must be seen in the context of what we are reading. Okay, so what are the all things? People say, you know, Jesus has all the all authority he has is that the all things is that he upholds the universe by his power. And if he should break any of his word, the universe will self-destruct. That it is the word of his power that is keeping the universe. Of course, he created the universe, okay? But that is not what he's talking about in Hebrews 1. Now let's see. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, so what are the all things that he upholds? The things he did when he by himself purged our sins and sat down. That means in his death and in his resurrection, which is the exaltation. Hallelujah. So he upholds all things pertaining to what he has done in purging our sins and sitting down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent... Now, when did he obtain this more excellent name? Was it in the incarnation or in the resurrection? In the resurrection, because in the incarnation, he was made a little lower than what? Than the angels, for the suffering of death. Now, it says that he has now obtained a more excellent name than the angels. Now, let's read on. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they... Okay? For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Okay? And again, I will be to him a father, and will be to me a son. Now, he says he obtained a more excellent name. What is that more excellent name? Now, immediately he talks about him obtaining a more excellent name. He now comes to say that, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. So, the more excellent name is the name in his sonship in the resurrection as the first begotten. Hallelujah. Which angels cannot be part of, but is reserved for only those who put faith in Christ Jesus. So when he says he obtained a more excellent name, the more excellent name is the name of sonship. Is sonship. Hallelujah. Because now, the reason why angels are not part of this more excellent name is because God never said to them, thou art my son. Amen. But God says to you what? You are my son. Just like he said to the first begotten, right? Thou art my son. Why did God say unto Jesus, thou art my son? Now, because those who will believe in him will be identified with him. Therefore, in his saying, thou art my son, he was not just speaking about him being a son alone, but all the many sons he would do what? He would bring into glory. Hallelujah. So we find our authority from the name of Jesus, the more excellent name that he obtained in the resurrection, which is not given unto angels. It's given unto those who believe. Hallelujah. Verse 6. And again, when he bringeth his first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. When he says again, when he bringeth his first begotten. Now, we already know that the first begotten is talking about the resurrection, okay? So, it was not in the incarnation that God said, let all the angels of God do what? Worship him. But what? In the resurrection, when he became the first begotten, he said, let all the angels of God do what? Worship him. Amen. Oh, Gabarashka, sovereign Megisko. Hallelujah. 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 Put my notes on. Okay, let's see Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, verses 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Okay? God also buried them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels had he not put in subjection the word to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. Now he made him a little lower than the angels in what? In the incarnation, okay? Now he crowned him with glory and honor where? In the resurrection, okay? Thou crownest him with glory and honor. Thou hast set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under his feet, under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see yet not all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, of whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So, why did he put all things under his feet? It was for the sons. Hallelujah. It was for the sons. It was for us. Now, he put all things under his feet for us. Amen. Now, that is why he became, that is why he took the nature of a man. Okay? And Philippians chapter 2. Let's see Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Okay? Now, let's look at this closely again. Let's look at it very closely, okay? Now, verse 6 is that who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, okay? But did what? But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in likeness of a man. This is the incarnation, right? This is the incarnation, okay? Now, verse 8 now says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Now, this talks about his death, right? His sufferings, right? Now, then he now goes on to say, now, wherefore? God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, every name here cannot be seen as every name. His name is above Shango. His name is above, of course we know that one, but that is not what he's talking about. Every name must be seen in context of what he was talking about. Because name here is not OC. Toluwa, no. His name here is talking about reputation. He's talking about office. He's talking about accomplishment. When a name here is talking about accomplishment, reputation, office. Amen. So now he is saying, what is the first name that he had here? The first name is the name he had in the incarnation when he became a man. Hallelujah. When he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a man. That was an identity. That was a reputation that he took upon himself, the form of a servant, and became a man. That is a name. Okay? The name in his earthly ministry. Hallelujah. That was the reputation he had. Now, he now goes on to say, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Now, it's in his death. That is another work. There is another accomplishment in his death. But you know, we all know that Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that if Christ is not risen, what happens? Our faith is vain and we are yet in our sins. That is why the good news is not that Jesus died. The good news is that he rose again. Hallelujah. So now first of all, he talks about the name in his earthly ministry, right? In the incarnation. Then he talks about another name in his death. Then he now says, in verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name. Now, what is the exaltation? The resurrection. So he's saying in the resurrection and the ascension, God, there is a name that he has that he did not have in the incarnation and in his death. Hallelujah. Now, because the incarnation, the death was for the resurrection. He came to die. This is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came to the world to do what? To save sinners. Amen. So he had a name in his earthly ministry. He had a name in his death. Hallelujah. But he has a name that is above every other name, every of this name. Okay? In the resurrection. Hallelujah. Are we following? So he said, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Okay? Of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. So, now, in the name that he has in the exaltation or in the resurrection, now, he didn't have this name for himself. Remember, the reason why he died is for what? Is to bring many sons unto glory. Is to bring many sons into this inheritance that he now has in the resurrection. So the man who believes in him is identified with this name that is above every other name. What is name? Reputation. Accomplishment. Hallelujah. That means by faith in him, we receive his accomplishment. We receive the reputation of his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, so we have seen that the believer receives his authority in salvation. Now, because in Christ's death, he becomes the sinner's substitute, right? Okay? Now he takes the place of sinful man. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 to 21. Okay, verse 21. God has made him to be sin for us, okay? Who knew no sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Just like, you know, Isaiah would say, unto you a child is given, right? Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. Okay? Unto you a child is what? Is born. That is the incarnation, okay? His birth, his earthly ministry. Now, unto you a son is given. No longer in the earthly ministry. He's talking about the resurrection. Because when he says John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The giving of John 3:16 is not the giving of his birth. It's the giving of 2 Corinthians 5:21. Okay? God made him to be sin. If God delivered him up for us all. Okay? That was the giving of John 3:16. That was his death. Hallelujah. And, you know, consequently, his resurrection. Okay? So now, in his death, he takes the sinner's place. Okay? Now, in his resurrection, the sinner who believes in him takes his place. In his death, he takes the identity. He takes the identity of the sinner. He is dead in sin. The sinner is dead in sin. So now, in his dying, he takes the place of the sinner. That the sinner, in his resurrection by faith in him, may take his place. So he became a son. For what? To bring many sons unto glory. In order to bring many sons to glory, he had to become a son. Now, and he had to be exalted so that in his exaltation, every other son will be what? Will be exalted with him also. Hallelujah. So now we have seen that this is how the believer receives his authority. That means the authority of the believer is predicated on salvation. Okay? It's predicated on faith in the gospel. But that the believer has received his authority doesn't mean that, okay, that the authority is now automatic. It just works automatically. Now, how does the believer now make full proof of this authority that he has? How does he make full proof? Now, it is the work of God in giving you this authority. Okay? But now, whose work it is to use this authority? Now, let's see Acts chapter 1. Amen. So far, what can we say that the indwelling of the Spirit is also the authority of the believer? The indwelling of the Spirit is what brings about the authority of the believer. You have authority in Christ because you have him in you. Hallelujah. All right, let's see Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. And let's see Acts chapter 2. Acts 2. Acts 2 verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit did what? As the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's go to verses 13. Verses 13. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter standing up with the 11. But Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my, verse 18, and on my servants, and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall what? And they shall prophesy. Now, look at verses 32. Verses 32. Let's take verse 31. Now, he's seen, they're talking about David. He's seen this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in her, neither his flesh did see corruption. You see, this Jesus had God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Okay? All right? Now let's go to, before I explain, let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Are we in Luke 24? All right. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2. Verse 4 again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay? The Spirit gave them utterance. See verse 13 again. Others mocking said, these men are full with new wine. But Peter, standing up with 11, said, he goes on to say that this is that which was spoken by the prophet, what? Joel, that in the last days I will do what? I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now, we already know that by faith in Christ Jesus, a man receives the indwelling of the Spirit. Okay, receives the indwelling of the Spirit. Now, Peter says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that I will do what? I will pour out of my spirit. Now, it seemed to say that Peter was saying that it was God who was going to pour out of his spirit. Right? Now, but Jesus says in Luke chapter 24, verse 14, he says that, he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be do what? Until you be endued with power from on high. Now, enduo is not what is done on you, is what you do on yourself. It's just like as you take up your coat and you put it on. Who puts on your clothes for you? Is you, right? That means you will take on power and put it on. Hallelujah. So now, Peter says, this was what was spoken by the prophet Joel, that I will pour out of my spirit. Now, but when the day of Pentecost actually came and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, now, who did the speaking? Was it God that did the speaking or they did the speaking? Okay, now, Paul says, I will, 1 Corinthians 14 says, I will speak, okay, in the spirit. I will do what? I will speak in the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing in what? In the understanding also. Now, who was doing it? Who was to do it? Paul, right? Now, so, can we call the outpouring of the spirit now the, how do I put it? The flows of the spirit when a person prophesies. Can we say that is the outpouring of the spirit? When a person speaks with tongues and interprets, can we say that is the outpouring of the spirit? When a person gives a word of knowledge, can we say that is the outpouring of the spirit? Now, Jesus said that. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall speak with new tongues. They will cast out devils. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, who does that? The believer, right? So now, who actually pours out the spirit? It's the believer that pours out the spirit. Pours out from where? From the indwelling. Because at salvation, he receives the indwelling of the Spirit, okay? Now, but by his work, by himself, he pours out of the Spirit. So it is the believer who pours out the Spirit upon all flesh. God poured out his Spirit upon all flesh, okay? Now, in the resurrection, when by faith in the resurrection, right? He has poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh, does all flesh mean all flesh? All flesh who believe. So he pours out his Spirit upon all flesh who believe. Now, how? In the resurrection, right? Now, but how does others see this outpouring? It is by the believer pouring it out by himself. So the believer takes of what is inside and pours out. This is not the same with out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, some people say, my belly will go to the nations. It will flow to the nations. Somebody put your hands on your belly and say, nations are drinking, coming to drink. The bigger your stomach, the more they can drink actually. Hallelujah. So the outpouring of the Spirit is what the believer does. The believer takes of the Spirit and pours out. So when I speak with tongues, what am I doing? I am pouring out of the Spirit. When I prophesy, what am I doing? I'm pouring out of the Spirit. When I sing in other tongues, what am I doing? I'm pouring out of the Spirit. When I go out and I lay hands on the sick and the sick recover, that is an outpouring of the Spirit. Hallelujah. When I work miracles, that is an outpouring of the Spirit. It is what I do. It says, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Of course, we know from on high is not from on high. From on high was what? From the ascension, which is from the indwelling, okay? Now, so they took on power and put it on because they started speaking as the Spirit did what? Gave them utterance. Is that clear? So the indwelling of the Spirit is the work of God, but the outpouring of the Spirit is the work or activity of the believer. Is the activity of the believer. Okay? He puts the Spirit within you at salvation. That is his work. But now, from that Spirit within, you now take from it, okay, and pour out. So he pours out to others of the Spirit he has received. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, where I just quoted. Now, let's see more evidences about this. Let's see Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, because actually we are talking about the believer's authority ministering to one another, okay, by pastor's instruction, okay. Colossians chapter 3. So in ministering to one another, we first of all have to understand our authority. Now, you know, most people's understanding of authority is power, is, you know, to just do stuff like that. But authority is right, okay? It's right in this context. Are we in Colossians 3? Colossians is after the book of Zedekos. Just before Zuranda. Hallelujah. All right, Colossians 3, verses 14. And above all this, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay? And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people will say, I would explain the previous. People say that whatsoever you do in the name of the Lord. That means if you go to the toilet, you do it in the name of the Lord. If you go to work, you go to work in the name of the Lord. That whatsoever you do in word or deed. No, no. Whatsoever has to be in context of what he was talking about. Whatsoever you do in word or deed. Now, what would be this thing you do in word or deed? He already says that, he already started by saying, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even if any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ has Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all this, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, okay? Sing it with grace in your heart. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, that means these things, when you do these things, psalms, spiritual songs, forgiveness, forgiving one another, okay? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That means because of what he has done. Hallelujah. It's not like, you know, when you prophesy, you say, in the name of Jesus, it is not by calling the name, okay? It's that you are doing it by the identity, okay? By his reputation. Hallelujah. Let's see also Ephesians chapter 5. So we see, we saw in Colossians that, you know, in Psalms, we minister to one another in Psalms, okay? In hymns, in spiritual songs, okay? Making melody in our heart, okay? Forgiving one another. Now, we do this, why? Because we are in Christ. Christ has set an example. Now, Christ is in us. Now, because he is in us, from this understanding, from this reality, we do all this. Hallelujah. So, when I prophesy because I'm in Christ. Because his power is in me. Okay? So, I let that power flow towards another. Okay? When I stretch forth my hand to heal the sick, it's because I know that Christ is in me. His power is in me. I'm aware of it. So, I stretch forth my hand. I let the power flow towards the person who needs it. Hallelujah. Let's see Ephesians chapter, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God in the name of the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, I want us to back up a little bit to verses 14. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life. Now, if you read from verses 1, you see that he makes a comparison, okay? He talks about those who are in darkness, okay, and those who are in the light. He talks about, you know, those who are drunk with wine, okay, and those that we should be drunk with the Spirit, okay? Now, it's a comparison, okay? Those who are in darkness, but we who have been made manifest in the light. So, it's actually a flow of thought. Now, verse 14 now says that, wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give the light. Verse 15, see then that he walk circumspectly, not as fools. That means there are those who walk as fools, right? But he says we should walk circumspectly as what? As wise. Okay, now says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Now, who is the man who is drunk? Who is drunk with excess wine? He's talking about the unbeliever, the man who is in darkness. Hallelujah. Now, be not drunk with wine. He says, this is the way of the Lord, right? Be not drunk with wine, where is in its excess, but be what? But be filled with the Spirit. Now, he now says, speaking to yourselves, what? Psalms, hymns, or spiritual songs. Now, when he says, be not drunk with wine, where in its excess, the word excess there is the word asotia, okay? Is the Greek word asotia. A-sotia, okay? Sotia from sozo, from salvation. You know, when you add a, that means contrary, okay? Now, when he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Now, that excess there, that asotia, it means unsavedness or unsafeness. Unsavedness. Hallelujah. Okay? Unsavedness, unsafeness. What he's saying is that being drunk with wine is not safe. It's a risk. It's not safe. And it's contrary to the man who is saved. Do you understand? It says that there are those who are drunk with wine, but you be drunk with the Spirit or be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Now, the man who is drunk with wine is the man who walks in darkness. Is the man who does not redeem the time, even when the days are evil. But the man who is filled with the Spirit is the man who redeems the time. He's the man who walks in the light as he is in the light. Okay? Is the man who is filled with the Spirit doing what? Speaking to yourselves in some similar spirit. What he's saying is that, now, what Paul is saying, he's saying that not to be filled with the Spirit, and we know what to be filled with the Spirit is, right? Now, flowing in the things of the Spirit, you know, singing to yourself, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, prophecy, tongues, and all that. Paul is saying not to be filled, not to maintain a life that is characterized by being filled with the Spirit is unsafe. Be not drunk with wine, where it is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Living a life that is not filled with the Spirit, that is not characteristic of a man who is filled with the Spirit is unsafe. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying it's a risk to be a believer and not live a Spirit-filled life. It's a risk. It's unsafe for a believer not to speak with tongues and interpret. It's unsafe not to prophesy. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, asotia, unsavedness, unsafeness. That means, now following in the things of the Spirit is safe for me. Say to your neighbor, flowing in the things of the Spirit is safe for me. Speaking with tongues is safe for me. Prophesying is safe for me. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual song is safe for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is unsafe. It is risky. It is risky for a believer to live apart from this life. To live an unfilled life. Okay? To just go about not ministering to one another, not ministering to himself, not speaking with tongues, not prophesying, not laying hands on the sick. Because it will deaden your mind to the reality of who you are in Christ. You know, have you not met believers and you tell them to, you know, you say, now, I'm going to lay my hands on you now, and I'm going to pray for you, and you begin speaking with tongues. Say, ah, just like that. Just like that. Say, ah, just like that. You say, ah, now so easy. You speak with tongues. You say, with the same spirit that you speak, you interpret. You say, ah, it is because that person has been taught in a certain way. The person has not been living a filled life, so he feels, now his mind is, as it were, estranged to these things that are his. So for a believer not to live a filled life, he's putting himself at risk because he's living an unsafe life. He's estranging his mind from the things that are his. Hallelujah. He's estranging his mind from the things that are his. Now, so the things of the Spirit, by the authority of his name, is the wisdom of God. Now, because he says that, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, right? And what is the will of the Lord he was talking about? The things of the Spirit. So the things of the Spirit, by the authority of his name, is the wisdom of God. So it is the wisdom of God that redeems the time. How do we redeem the time? By doing the things that Paul talked about here. So redeeming the time is not trying to buy back time, you know, trying to rush. No, redeeming the time is living a Spirit-filled life. Hallelujah. It's ministering to one another. That is how we redeem the time. Now, ministry to one another, the things of the Spirit, is walking circumspectly as wise. Okay? Because that is what it also means, to walk circumspectly as wise. Ministering to one another. Which is the opposite of walking as a fool. Because now, he's talking about two kinds of people. The one who is drunk with wine, okay? And the one who should be filled with the Spirit. The one who walk circumspectly as, not as wise, but as a fool, right? Now, that means, the unbeliever, he walks as a fool because he is estranged from the life in the Spirit, okay? He is in the flesh. He is not in the Spirit. Now, he's saying the life that the unbeliever lives, that is estranged from the Spirit, now, is not the life that we live. Okay? Do we get that? All right? So I say, let's see Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not on them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe, or these signs shall follow the believing ones, okay? This signs to follow them that believe in my name. Now, what did I say name is? His accomplishment, right? His reputation, his authority, okay? His office. Now, in my name, or in what I have done, I will do what? They will do what? In my name, they will do what? They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Now let's see Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Now, the names, let us stop there. So he gave them power to do what? To cast out devils, to heal all manner of sicknesses and diseases. Now, is that similar to what he says we should do in Mark chapter 16? It's similar, right? Is it similar? Come on. I need a response. So now, when he was alive in his ministry, he called unto him his 12 disciples and he gave them what? He gave them authority over unclean spirits. Now, then he sent them forth. You remember, they would come back later and they would say, you see, Lord, even the spirits are what? Are subject unto us. And they rejoiced. The spirit were subject unto us. Now, what is the authority that they walked with then, premised upon? Now, notice I say that now, his name is what? His authority, right? His reputation, his accomplishment, right? Now, that means now, he gave them the power of attorney, right? Now, to go do those works. Now, why did it work? Because he was alive. Now, when Jesus died, what happened to them? Every one of them, they went their own way. Now, is it possible that those same guys that he gave authority to heal the sick, to raise the dead, you know, to cast out demons, is it possible that they would have been able to do the same thing when Jesus died? No, because the name now had now died. Because the believer derives his authority from the life of Jesus. The reason why we can cast out devils is because he is alive. Now, when we speak with tongues, when we prophesy, when we lay our hands on the sick, when we cast out devils, we are giving testimony to the fact that Jesus is alive. That is why when the disciples, when they healed that man at the beautiful gate, they asked, you see, by whose authority have you done this thing? Then I said that, you see, this same Jesus whom you crucified has God raised up. And by faith in him, faith in his name, right? You have seen this man receive perfect wholeness, as you see. Because now, he is now risen. So the Jews understood that for them to say we are doing this in his name, it means this guy is alive. That is why they say that, don't speak anymore in his name. Now, because a dead man doesn't have authority. A dead man does not have authority. If Christ is not risen, you are yet in your sins and your faith is vain. So the disciples could not have cast out devils while Jesus was in the grave because the name was dead. He didn't just die physically, he died spiritually. He was in hell. While he was in hell, he had no power there. He was slain by darkness. Hallelujah. He was there. But in his resurrection, what does the resurrection signify? It means he is now alive. So, because he is alive, now I now do the things that he did. So, when we work miracles, when we do signs and wonders, when we practice the things of the Spirit, we are giving testimony to the fact that Jesus is alive. When I heal the sick, I am telling someone that Jesus is alive. When I raise the dead, I'm telling that person that Christ is alive. So every miracle, every sign wonder, every healing, every gift of the Holy Ghost that is manifested is testimony of the fact that he is alive. That is why Peter said, he says that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, Peter now goes on to say, he says, and whosoever shall call upon his name shall be what? Shall be saved. That means these things will flow from the fact that those who call upon his name who are saved will do these things. Hallelujah. Now, so our authority flows from his life, not his death. Our authority flows from the reality and understanding of his life in us, not his death. Not that now, because he being in the grave is defeat. That is why it was not recorded in the four gospels anywhere that when he died, any of them did miracles again, did anything. In fact, Peter said, I go a fishing, and they all went with him. Now they were filled with sorrow. They felt all was hopeless. They felt he was not going to rise again. Hallelujah. Now, so in his life, he gives them the power of attorney. He tells them, do these things now, because now this is the same thing he was doing. Now he now gives them power to do the same thing. But now he is risen. Do you understand now? Okay, now by the power of his life, of his name, we now do the same. Hallelujah. Amen. So the more we are aware of the reality of his life in us, the more effective is the communication of our authority. The more we become aware, it dawns on us. Yes, we know we are saved now. Now, the more it dawns on you what it means for him to be alive in you, the more ease with which you can do the things of the Spirit, the more ease with which you can heal the sick, raise the dead, do all that. Hallelujah. The more you become aware of his resurrection power in you, his life in you, it becomes easier for you. So, authority becomes more active by epignosis of Christ. So, authority becomes more active or effective by the epignosis of Christ, of his life. Because whatever I do, whatever he told me to do, now, he said, go heal the sick, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. No, speak with new tongues. Why? Because I'm now alive in you. Because now, if Christ were to die, you know, Romans says that, you see Christ being raised from the dead, died no more, okay? Now, if Christ were to die a second time now, if he were to die, you couldn't do any of those things. Because he is the giver of the Spirit. He is the Spirit. He is the giver of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so we do these things is testimony of the fact that he is living on the inside of us. That is why an unbeliever does not, these are not the signs that follows the unbeliever. It follows those who have believed. Because those who have believed have his Spirit in him. Romans chapter 8, if any man has not the Spirit of God in him, he is what? He's none of his. If any man has not the Spirit of God in him, he's none of his. So authority becomes more effective and effectual by the epignosis of Christ. That's, you know, that also explains Philemon 6, that the communication of your faith become effectual by the acknowledging the epignosis of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Talking about now every good thing that is in you because Christ is alive in you. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:26. Colossians 1, verse 25, let's take from verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the disposition of dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is Christ alive in you. That the communication of your faith be made effectual by the acknowledging, by the epignosis. That means the more I become aware of his life, the more I become aware of his power, that exceeding great power inside of me. That is why Paul said, pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know. Because the more you know, the more your eyes are enlightened to know this exceeding greatness of his power on the inside, the more the communication of your faith becomes effective. Hallelujah. So, effectiveness in authority is what? Is a function of what? Of the epignosis of his life. Now, you can try it out. Is anybody having any kind of pain here? You know, people think is by calling the name of Jesus, 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 Jesus. He said, I was calling the name Jesus, Jesus, but it still happened. It's because the person is not calling the name with understanding. It's not in the pronunciation is not J-E-S-U-S. It's understanding. What does the name mean? What does the name stand for? Hallelujah. Anybody having any pain here? Let's just try something. Who? You having a pain? Please come. Please come. Hallelujah. Where's the pain at? In your head, right? Okay. Now, I could say, in the name of Jesus, pain be gone. Okay? But now, I will just say something else. Because it's not by what I say. Okay? All right? Now, I already know that what I'm going to do now, I'm going to do it by the authority because Christ is alive in me. So, I'm just going to put my hand on your head. I'm just going to say, Christ is alive. And the headache is an headache, right? And it will be gone. All right? Okay? Now, are you ready for this? You ready for this? Okay. All right. Now, headache, Jesus is alive. Now, shake for the headache. No, shake for it. Shake for it now. Is it still there? Shake for it now. You can't feel anything again. It's not by what you say. It's by understanding. It's by understanding. That is why someone can be shouting, you know, to cast out a demon saying, Holy Ghost power, the Holy Ghost power, come down fire again. You know, in the name of Jesus. You know, he say, shout the name 7 times. Number one, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And nothing is happening because it is not by the shouting. Do you understand? In fact, now someone can be there, you know, and shout and spin around and you know, I dance and pray and scream and spit upon the person. Nothing happens. But someone else, what's happening? She doesn't understand. It's that fast. It's the name. It's the name. Hallelujah. So, you know, someone is dancing around, doing all that, but some, he's still shaking the head. You know, but someone might just by a touch. Amen. I can remember some years ago, you know, I was in a room with my cousin and he was sleeping in the night. And I just woke up in the night and I saw the guy. He was struggling. He was, Jesus! Jesus! And, you know, they were pressing him. Who has been pressed before? You know those days? You know, they were pressing him, you know. It was only Jesus. So me, that was around 2007. I had already understood, you know, these things. My authority. So I sat down. I woke up, I sat down close to the bed. I watched him. He was just doing all that. We were just struggling. And I just simply said, in the name of Jesus. There was no shout. It's just, I just whispered. Immediately, he breathed and he slept again. In the morning, he woke up and he said, last night, not a small battle. He said, they came on. He said, they came on and they were praising me. He said, I was almost dying. He said, I was even struggling to call the name. I said, I was aware. He said, but I heard when you said faintly. He said, as soon as you said that, he said, they left me. What was it? He was saved though. He was saved. But you know, just like some people in an accident is about happening. Jesus, 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 Jesus. No. This boss, you will stop now. This boss, you will not go further. You see, your mouth will give the power of God direction. You have this authority. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, this power. You will give it direction. No, you're not trying to Jesus. No. No blood of Jesus. No. Tell people in the bus, say, calm down. I am here. See, that you are in the bus, you are joining mercy on yourself. You are the journey mercy. Amen. You are the journey mercy.
So, you know, so the boss is, you know, the driver has lost brake. Maybe the boss has lost his brake. And the driver is confused. Everybody is confused. Everybody, both the unbelievers now, they are all shouting Jesus. See, tell them, everybody calm down. I'm here. This bus will stop in 1 minute's time. This bus will not go into the bush. No tire will leave this. See here, Abba. See, you will be there shouting Jesus, Jesus, and the angels will be looking at you. Because you are not giving them instructions. Do you know that when the Bible says that the angels of God, they excel in strength, it doesn't mean that the angels, they have power of their own. Who has exceeding great power? You know, right? You have exceeding great power, right? Do angels have exceeding great power? No! No! To which of the angels said at any time, thou art my son! So exceeding great power is left for sons. Is the exclusive preserve of sons. So, now actually, the power with which angels operate, who has the power? No, come on. Who has the power? The believer has the power. So, now, when you speak words, actually, when angels go with power, you are the one supplying the power to them. Because you are the one who has exceeding great power. Christ is not in the angels. He is in you. You are where power resides. So when you give instruction, from the instruction you give, power is supplied for angels to walk. That is why if you keep quiet, things may happen because the angels, they don't know what to do. Because they take instruction from you. You have not made power available for them. So when we pray, prayer, what prayer does again? Prayer makes us to be more aware of the reality of his life in us. And in prayer, we make power available. The power is inside, okay? The power is there. Agbara is there. The exceeding great power is there. But when we pray, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man does what? It makes tremendous power available. Prayer does not create the power. Prayer is it makes the power available for use. Hallelujah. Power is in a prayer works on your mind. When you pray in tongues, when you are given to praying in the Holy Ghost, praying the polite prayers, what happens is that your mind is being renewed. You are making your mind susceptible to the power of God, to the epignosis of his life. Hallelujah. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? So, in our speaking, in our decrees, we make power available for angels to work. Because it is what we say that will determine what angels will do. It is by what we say that will determine the kind of assignments that the angels will carry out. If it is a power need, we make it available. Hallelujah. If it's a power need, see, angels don't cast out demons. We cast out demons. We have all power. We have all authority. And we must remember authority in his name by what he has done. Hallelujah. Now, and that we do these things is testimony of the fact that he is alive in us. Hallelujah. Let's see. Psalms chapter 8. Psalms 8. As I begin, we begin to tie this up. Psalms 8. All right, Psalms chapter 8. Are we in Psalms 8? Are we in Psalms chapter 8? No, this would be a perfect time to start rolling those tongues under your breath. Eh? Okay? Before we do a few things. Okay, Psalms 8. Verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Now it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, I have ordained strength. Now, in Matthew 11:28, Jesus lifted up his voice and said, I thank thee, O Father, heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them unto babes, for thus it seemed good in your eyes. So when David says that, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, that has ordained strength because of the enemy. He was talking about, talking in prophecy concerning the believer. That by faith in Christ, strength will be perfected in the mouth of babes. He said, because Christ being preached to the Jews, it is a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. But to everyone who believes, Christ is what? Is the wisdom of God, is the power of God. Now let's read on. When I consider, verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man? That thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. You know, the writer of the book of Hebrews quoted this, then he ended it with saying that he himself, he took the nature of man, right? And because of that, in order to, he suffered there to do what? To bring many sons unto what? Unto glory. Okay? Now, so all that Christ did was to bring man into identity, into baptism, to baptize man into his power, to baptize man into his name. So now we as believers, we have been baptized into his name. And being baptized into his name means we have been identified with his authority, with his power. Hallelujah. Now, this is the promise of the Spirit. You read Hebrews 11. It says that all this having obtained a good report, received not the promise. That was what they were waiting for. Hallelujah. Now, but now, by the resurrection of Jesus, by faith in that resurrection, now we have received the promised Spirit. God didn't promise man many things. God promised man one thing, that is the Spirit. That his Spirit would live in man. Hallelujah. And now that we have the Spirit in us, if any man have known the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his, but we know we are of him. Hallelujah. Ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome the world. Why are we of God? Because we have the Spirit. Because we have been made one with him. You are of God, little children. Now he has now brought many sons unto glory. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, by us giving expression to what he has told us to do, by his power made available, we give testimony to what? To his life. Let's stand on our feet. Come on, pray in other tongues. Ele brende di babranon, ele prende di sopra non, 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 ele prende Igezunto Paolo Shidas. Habranane Megis. Habranane Megis. Olo Solo Balamana Galaris. O Solo Bolo Bolo Managalaris. Tege Busalabalas. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we understand that when we do the things of the Spirit, we are giving testimony to His life. That means the only reason why I cannot cast out a demon is if Christ is no longer alive. If believers start laying hands on the sick and they are no longer recovering, means Jesus has died. But He never dies. He's alive. That means this gives testimony to His life. Because He did this thing. He says, I go to my Father. Okay? And I will come to you again. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now He has come to us. Now from this life, we pull out prophecy. From this life, we pull out word of knowledge. From this life, we pull out word of wisdom. From this life, we pull out workings of miracles. From this life, we pull out tongues. From this life, we see and we know. Hey! From this life, we discern. Hallelujah. That means there is nothing that He says I can do that I cannot do as long as He liveth. So, I walk in the consciousness that He is alive in me. Now you will choose any of these things. By this life, by the Spirit, you pull out what? Prophecy, word of knowledge, interpretation, tongues, okay? Now, agree with your neighbor what you want to do. See, just choose. I don't want to restrict it to, you know, tongues, interpretation, prophecy. Choose tongues, interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Choose. You can sing a spiritual song. You can sing a hymn to your neighbor. You can give a psalm. Come on, decide. I'm not no trouble. Though we have seen your face. Come on, go on. It's easy because it's the walking of the life. The life is at work. So I can minister to my neighbor. I can minister to the sick because the life is at work. Tabado shakapola habana goes a big halanos. And the polo no shamana reges. Trono no shabado kohijalo. Come on. Tovanano doyo do cambrilohos. Is the consciousness of the life. The life. Hey! That's why you can lay hand on the sick and say, life, that's all.
Come on. Make sure your neighbor is blessing you.
I love you with your love. You have given me all that you are. I love you with your love. Come on, keep on. I love you with your love. I love you with your love. You have given me all that you are. I love you with your love. Love you with your love. I love you with your love. I love you with your love. You have given me all that you are. I love you with your love. I love you with your love. Love you with your love. I love you with your love.
You have given me all that you were. I love you with your love.
You know, if there are times you're finding difficulty in prophesying or in giving in flowing in the spirit, the easiest way is to laugh, is to rejoice. If the words are not coming, just pause and just laugh. Woo, glory! Just laugh. If the words are not coming, just laugh. Just rejoice. Woo, glory to God. Who day? You see, the words will start coming. Because with joy, we draw waters out of the wells of salvation. With joy. Hey. With joy, we draw waters. We draw water out of the wells of salvation. Woo! 1 more minute. 1 more minute. Come on.
Armado Shabadahago, I love you with your love. I love you with your love. You have given me all that you were. I love you with your love. I love you with your love. I love you with your love. You have given me all that you were. I love you with your love. No more. I love you with your love. I love you with your love. You have given me all that you were. I love you with your love. You have given me all that you were. I love you with your love. Oh, no, 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 yeah. Oh, no, 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 no.
Who is that person that has been scared of, you know, of laying hands on the sick? Boldness has come today. Woo, glory. Woo, glory. Boldness has come now. By revelation. Hallelujah. Woo. He says with joy. With joy. We withdraw waters out of the wells of salvation. Somebody said to rejoice in this place. Somebody said to rejoice. Come on. 30 seconds. 30 seconds. I am 100% joyful. Hallelujah. Woo! The easiest way to flow in the spirit is to be full of joy. So rejoice. Everything seems contrary. Everything seems contrary, but you will laugh and you will speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Pogo Reshakto, Ve in the Draka, Provolo Undra, Gahakatoyo, Vedondo Shoto Boro, Gobanondra, Vega Vrala, Vrondra Pakatolo, Vregele Hixco, Hovernandra, Supreclesisto. Set not your eyes upon the dew, nor set your eyes upon rain. For even if you don't see the dew or see the rain, the abundance of that which you seek will flood you. For we are not those who set our eyes on the rain, those who set our eyes on the dew. We are those who set our eyes on the abundance within, the abundance of the Spirit. And from the indwelling of the Spirit, you will go out. You will do the things that you've only thought about. You will carry yourself about now. Now, you will find that there is speed for your steps. Now, you will find that your hands have been enabled. Woo! And where strength has been lacking, you will know now. That there is much more strength than you ever need. Full barakabo of Rono give a hack to show of Rano, Efren and Bredo, Zoko, Frodo Ven and Mergedi Hoska, Vrono do Vesesu, Fodo Fregido, Frodo Ashke Fodo, for these, woo, Fodo Fregima Parakesus, Brando, Efren on those. Set not your eyes upon the darkness, set not your eyes upon the sadness, set not your eyes upon the unknown, focus on the known. For my spirit is that which is known. Set not your eyes upon uncertainty of life. Set not your eyes upon the darkness that clouds your judgment. For that is the unknown.
Do not live in the realm of the unknown. Live in the realm of the known. For my spirit is the known. For in the realm of my spirit, all things are known. In my spirit is light. In my spirit is power. So live in the reality of my spirit. Live in the reality of the indwelling one. And live in the realms of expectations. For by mighty expectations, you will see mighty miracles. Live in the realm of expectations. Do not live in the realms of defeat. No, for you are not the defeated one. You are one who has put on the breastplate of the risen one. For you are not in the grave, and he is not in the grave. So look not to the cross, nor look into the grave. For he is not on the cross, neither is he in the grave. For he is within. For therein in you lies the mighty one. For in you lies the mighty one. So contemplate upon the one within. Contemplate upon the life within. Mull upon it. Muse upon it. Think upon it. Sleep. Sleep on it. Walk on it. Sing with it. Sing in the reality of his dwelling presence. Walk in the reality of this. Do not turn to the left or to the right. Do not look behind you. For behind is darkness. For behind is confusion. For you are not in confusion. You are not in darkness. For now you are in the light. And now your life is characterized by the light. So walk in the light. So know the light. So speak the light. So think upon the light. Think upon the light. Meditate upon the light. For you are not just in the light. For you are the light. For you are the light of the world. For you will go here and you will go there. For that which have been told in a whisper. For that which is about me. Of the risen one. Of the gospel. Which has been told in a whisper. Which has been told in obscurity. Shall now be told in shoutings. For this gospel shall be shouted like a trumpet. And all men will hear. And many will be brought out of darkness by your hands. Brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you will know. And you will be assured in this reality. That he is in you. And that he is for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can you rejoice? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know. Acts 10:38 says. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, right? Now, for God was with him, it actually seemed to say that for God was with them. For he was manifest in the flesh, because he was with them. He healed the sick, you know, did all kind of miracles. Now, you will go out there, and by you, men will know that God is with men. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give the Lord a shout. Will you rejoice? Hallelujah.